Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Let's go to Matthew chapter 18 tonight. If you'll remember, we're in a series on words, and I was going to do six teachings, but I'm going to stop tonight. I just feel like it's time for me to end this for now. And then we'll begin something different, or not necessarily a series, but teach something different on Sunday morning. But we're talking about, do words really matter? I mean, is this something that we've, you know, faith preachers made up to sell books, CDs, and tapes, and to start a new movement? Actually, really, the New Testament, the first faith preacher to teach on this was named, his name was Jesus. So I'd be a little watchful about criticizing something that the Master himself taught us. Amen. And so he's the one that taught us. Amen. And so we got to watch what we say sometimes and do a little bit of investigating before we, you know, say some things and we can get in trouble. Amen. And so Jesus is the one that said we could have what we say. It wasn't some faith preacher, you know. We got that off of him. Amen. As far as I know, Mark 11, 23 and 24, you know. I think Jesus said that. Amen. Amen. I don't think Brother Hagin was the one that originally said that. All right. And he popularized it, you know, and his life was built on it because it saved his life physically. So naturally it was verses to him. Well, sure it would be. But the point is that I'm making is this, you know, a lot of people just think that this is just something that, you know, that we you know, faith preachers or teachers taught, which we all ought to be faith preachers and teachers. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean that we all teach on faith all the time, you know, and some of us maybe teach on a little bit more than others, and that's because there's many things in the Bible.
That's right.
Amen? You know, faith isn't the only subject in the Bible, but the Bible puts a great importance on faith. Matter of fact, it says you can't be saved without it. So I think that'd be pretty important. It says you stand by faith, we walk by faith, we live by faith. We're to have on the shield of faith. Jesus said, according to your faith. Jesus said, where is your faith? Why is it you have no faith? Oh, you of little faith. I can go on, right? If you'll help me. Amen. Tell me some more things that was said, right? I mean, there's a lot of things said about faith in the Bible, right? And so it's a very important subject. So we didn't just make this up. And so, but tonight what I want to talk about, which we're just leaving the title, is do words really matter? You know, like 1, 2, 3, 4. It's easier to title them that way and all, you know, because, I mean, I can give you some long titles, but, you know, I mean, Scott doesn't like it and he frowns on it and we got to keep Scott happy. So anyway, how many know you want to keep the sound guy happy, right? He can cut you off if he wants to. So, but tonight I just want to talk about this, the church and words. Let's go to Matthew 18. Did I tell you to go there? Let's read one verse. The Bible says, verse 18, Matthew 18, 18, it says, verily, this is Jesus now, verily I say unto you that whatsoever you shall bind on earth, whatsoever you, the church, shall bind on earth, shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, one translation of the Bible, I don't remember which one this is, it says, whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be, or whatever you permit will be permitted in heaven. So there's this forbidding and permitting, which, you know, that would be basically what the King James is saying here, what binding and loosing. Permitting, you could say it different ways and still be right. Another Bible says this. It says, a yes on earth is a yes in heaven. A no on earth is a no in heaven. Now, that's a little loose with the original Hebrew, Greek, excuse me. But it's still what's being said. If you say no on earth, heaven says no. If you say yes, heaven says yes. Let's go back to the King James here. If you bind it on earth, it's bound in heaven. If you loose it on earth, it's loosed in heaven. So it sounds to me like that heaven's not making the decisions here. It sounds like the decisions are being made on earth by you and by me. See? So we have to deal with some modern theology. The modern theology says that, you know, whatever, and we've talked about this, and I hope you don't get tired of me getting up on my horse and my soapbox on certain things, but they're really damaging if you let them run their course, and that is the teaching that whatever happens in your life is the will of God or it wouldn't happen. Well, that's not true, because no raising of hands, please. But how many have sinned this year? Okay, you know, and the one person in here that said, not me, you just did. It's called lying. And so heaven didn't permit that. Heaven didn't have anything to do with that. That was our doing. Amen? So if you want to push the sovereignty thing to extreme, then you could just say then God's a partaker of your sin. It was him and you that did that together. Well, I mean, that's just not right, right? That's just not scriptural, right? So it's a lot of things happen in our life that God didn't want to happen. And and conversely, there's a lot of things don't happen that God would like to happen. But he has to get our cooperation. You remember when God came to Abraham, he said, as for me, my covenant's with you. As for me, this is what I'm going to do. But he gave Abraham a leeway. You could say no and tell me no and get out of here. I don't want anything to do with you, Jehovah, whoever you are, El Shaddai, whoever you are. I don't want anything to do with you. But God left it up to the man. Do you want in on this? And Abraham was smart enough to do it. Amen. And so the church has to watch what it says, because we have authority. We have the ability to activate heaven by our words. Now think about, you know, when the Holy Spirit came to the earth on the day of Pentecost. That's not like he wasn't here before, but he came in a new dimension. He came in a way he hadn't been before, and that's to baptize people with his power. When he came, the first thing that he did was get a hold of their tongues. It says, the Spirit of God came, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. So the first thing the Holy Spirit did in the disciples' lives was get a hold of their tongues and give them a language that would actually activate heaven. I don't apologize for praying in tongues. I love praying in tongues. Now we're supposed to do both. You know, the Bible says that Paul said, "I'll pray with my spirit and I'll pray with my understanding." God wants to hear your words too. But there's just, I tell you, you know, the Scripture teaches that when we pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit gives us utterance. I don't think there's any better way to pray than that way. Amen. 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 Paul said, talking about giving thanks in tongues, he said, you give thanks well when you do it. He said, the only problem is if you're doing this at church all the time, the other's not edified. So, you know, it's not helping other people, and you should be looking out for other people and just yourself. Amen. But we got a private life. How many know that? Amen. Paul said, I speak in tongues more than you all. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. So one of the things, and I taught this years ago, the teaching, there may still be some of the single CDs at the media counter, but I taught years ago about the fact that the spirit realm is voice activated. In other words, your voice activates the realm of the spirit. Right. Now, Psalms tells us, the Psalm 103:20 tells us that the angels hearken to the voice of God's word. It doesn't say that they just hearken to God. It says they hearken to the voice of his word. Now, I think it's significant that it uses the word voice. It could have said the angels hearken to the Lord. Well, that would be true, right? But that'd leave us out. But it says they hearken to the voice of God's word, which means wherever they hear it from, they hearken to it. Amen. I mean, think about when you were growing up. You know, maybe one of your siblings said, "Dad said, come in." I mean, that wasn't Dad, but you knew that it carried authority because where it came from, right? It meant, you know, just because Dad didn't physically come and say, you knew if you didn't obey, you're liable to get, you know. In those days, parents actually spanked their children. Today, you go to jail for doing that, and of course, you know, we see the results of that. Didn't say beat your children, but, you know, God gave you extra padding back there for something. That's right. You may have added to it, but it's standard equipment, right? So, you know, my point, you know, and I know people will see this, oh my gosh, that church believes in corporal punishment. You need to wake up and realize that after Dr. Spock got a hold of America and told us how to raise our kids, they turned out bad. So maybe the Bible, you know, the Bible talks about, you know, not sparing the rod, but it doesn't mean beat your children. It just means that sometimes, you know, you got to take a little step further. All right, but anyway, I don't know how I got off on this, but it's not popular today, but I really don't care. I'll stick with God. I think He knows more than any psychologist or psychiatrist today. Nothing against them. If they know God, they probably know something. But if they don't, they don't know much as far as spiritual things. Amen. Now, so the spirit world is voice activated. See, now think about it. See, Daniel, in Daniel chapter 10, when he was praying, the Bible says that he was seeking God and he was praying about some things. And when the angel did show up, what he said to Daniel says, I've come because of your words. Because of your words. Now, isn't that the same thing? Basically, what Psalm 103 says, they hearken to the voice of God's word. So what Daniel said must have been in line with God's will. Now, you know, if he had said just anything, the angel wouldn't have responded to that. But he responded because it was according to the word of God. It was according to the will of God. And because of that angel said, I've come because of your word. So there was a voice activation. See, I got really, this is, you know, this was years ago when they first came out with cell phones that, well, you could speak your text into it. I mean, remember that, you know. And I was so excited about that. I thought, you know, I need that because I'm not a real good typer. I mean, I've been typing now for, you know, a long time. I don't, you know, because of being in the ministry and doing notes, I type on my iPad, but I'm still kind of a one-pecker, seek-and-find typer after all these years. I still haven't mastered this. You know, I see kids on their cell phone, you know, I got mine and I'm punching one at a time, you know. And so when that came out, I thought, that's pretty cool. You know, and about a few years before that, I was with a friend, and this was, you got to understand, I know we're all of us probably have vehicles like this, or a lot of us have vehicles like this, that are voice activated. Now, but I remember getting in a friend's vehicle years ago, a preacher friend of mine, and I got in his vehicle, and he had been blessed with a really nice vehicle. It was a really sharp BMW. And yeah, was that what? Yeah, it was a BMW. And it was top of the line. And so I get in with him, and he starts showing me all this thing does. I mean, you just talk to it, you know, talk to it. Say, play CD number 3, track 7. Bam, it does it, you know, and all. And I thought, man, I'd like to have a car like this, you know. But it was voice activated. Yeah. And then those texts came out voice activated, you know. And now all kinds of things are becoming voice activated. People tell me, I don't know, I don't have it. But people tell me now you can get appliances that are voice activated. You just tell them what to do. Well, if you could just get that put in your kids, wouldn't that be great? Amen. You know, but the point I'm making is this. The spirit realm is voice activated. It is voice activated. We, you know, when we give voice to the word, we give voice to the will of God, we give voice to God's plan, then the spirit world comes to attention and begins to move. Amen. Now, you know, I'm not going to go long tonight, but we'll just go as long as we need to. But I want you to understand, see, as the church, because we have authority, we got to watch what we say, good or bad. We got to watch it because angels and demons are listening to our words. And so we have to make sure that what we're saying is in line with what we want to come to pass in our life and what God wants to come to pass. See, God didn't give us a tongue just so we could use it for anything. God gave us a tongue so we could glorify Him and speak His word. You know, He didn't give us a tongue to use it to talk about people or to criticize. He gave us a tongue to glorify Him. Amen? Now, all right, let's go to the Gospel of Luke. I want to show you something here. Now, once again, remember what we said, the church in words, the church has to watch what it says because we got authority. And when we say things, let's see, Luke chapter 4, when we say things and we say them based on the Word of God, we say them in faith, they have power. They activate the spirit world. I remember years ago, a lady that came in our area, I'm trying to think, this is probably the 1980s, sometime in the 80s. But this lady came, she came to give her testimony. And she had actually physically died. And they brought her back to life. But she was just in a deep coma. You know, no response whatsoever from her. Actually, what had happened was her appendix had burst and poisoned her whole system. And so it was a really bad situation for her. And really, it just did not look like she was going to live. And so she's in the hospital. And she said, you know, and she made this point, which is a good point. She said, even though someone may be in a coma, don't assume they can't hear you. She said, because I could hear everything. She said, I couldn't respond to people. They didn't know I was hearing them. But she said, I could hear every word that was being said. She said, it sounded like they were way off somewhere and like I was in a well. She said, but I was still hearing everything the people were saying. And so we got to watch it. Amen. And she said, people would come in and they would talk about how bad she was and about how, you know, how she wasn't going to make it. She wasn't going to live. As a matter of fact, her own family came in and around her bed began talking about her funeral. Now, how many want to hear that? You know, but she can't say anything. She can't respond. But she says, my spirits would just go down. It's like I'd go into darkness. Why? Because the words they were speaking didn't line up with the will of God. But she said, there was one pastor in the area that he would come by and see me. And, of course, he didn't know she could hear or either. Or then again, maybe he did. But he would come, and she said, he would read the scriptures to me. And he would speak positive things over me. And she said, it's like light would come to me, and that darkness would just lift off of her. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And I never forgot about her talking about that, because she said, I could hear and what was being said. And if people spoke negative things over my life, it just brought a gloominess on me, a darkness on me, a despair on me. But this one preacher, she said, a Pentecostal preacher, would come in there. Hallelujah. And, you know, he would lift her spirits up. And then finally, it's been a long time since I read her book. She's got a book out, but she came around the area giving her testimony. But anyway, what eventually happened was one day she heard these words just spoken to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah. And she was totally healed. Amen. And lived many years after that and went around preaching and teaching, or actually giving her testimony. I don't know how much of a preacher or teacher she was, but she gave her testimony. Amen. Because somebody's, you know, thank God for that preacher that went in there. Are you with me now? You know, I heard another story. These are true stories, too. Another guy, he had been in a coma, I don't know how many weeks, but anyway, for a few weeks, he'd been in a coma, just totally out. And so his family, a minister told him, said, look, put the Word of God in his hospital room and play it all the time. Just keep it going. And, of course, in those days, it was cassette, so you had to turn the tape over for the conclusion. And so, I mean, one of the funniest tapes I ever heard, I've got a tape, I don't know which one it is, but the minister's preaching, and he says, in the beginning, God said, please turn the tape over for the conclusion. Well, thank God, in the beginning, we did have to turn the tape over, and Jesus is the conclusion. Hallelujah. But anyway, his family put a cassette tape player in his room, and someone stayed in there, and for 2 weeks, they just played God's Word 24/7. They would be there to turn the tape over and just played it and played it and played it. After 2 weeks, this guy, no reasoning, in the natural, just set up and said, nobody knows the trouble I've seen, and was healed. Hallelujah. I don't know what all he saw, but thank God the Word delivered him. Amen? Amen. Now, my point is the church, everybody say the church, has to watch its words. Amen? See, what is our job? Well, the Bible tells us in Leviticus 25, talks about the year of Jubilee, that you're to go throughout the land and proclaim liberty. Wasn't that what Jesus did when he came into that synagogue? He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. and so forth. And he went on to say the priest, the acceptable year of the Lord, or that's the year of Jubilee. In other words, the Jubilee is here. He proclaimed liberty. So that's what the church is to do, hallelujah, is proclaim liberty. Not bondage. Amen. Now I want to show you something here in Luke chapter 4, verse 38. This is actually the head of the church, Jesus Christ. Verse 30, Luke 4, verse 38, and he arose out of the synagogue and he entered into Simon's house, and Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. So, you know, in those days, Luke's a doctor, so he called it a great fever. There were, you know, they listed fevers by different ranks. So when Luke said she had a great fever, that meant she was in really bad condition. All right? So she's in really bad shape. Verse 39, and he, that being Jesus, stood over her and rebuked the fever. And it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. I want you to notice, Jesus spoke to a fever. It's like one brother said, can fevers hear? Well, it said it left her. Obviously, they can hear. Right? See, things in the natural. Now I want to say this to you before I go on here. I want to keep that thought. I want to go back to that. But I want you to notice, it says he rebuked the fever, but literally, another way you could translate this word here is a Greek word. They could have like three or four different translations in the English. You could translate it a different way, and you'd be right on what the Greek's saying, because the Greek, it means different things. One of the things it means is he forbid it. That's one of the meanings of this Greek word. He forbid the fever. I forbid you. Well, isn't that what rebuking is? It's forbidding, right? See, I forbid you to stay in Peter's mother-in-law. Now, I don't know if this is true, but Brother Cap said that's why Peter denied him three times, because he healed his mother-in-law. I don't know. That's what Brother Cap used to say. So, might be some truth to that. I don't know. But I want you to notice, Jesus spoke to the fever, didn't he? Now, go to Luke chapter 8. Just go a few pages over to the right. Luke chapter 8. Let me show you something here. Luke chapter 8. It's just important we see this. I mean, he's the head. We just saw the head of the church at work. What did he do, man? He spoke some things. Hallelujah. Now, Luke chapter 8, verse 20. Let me see where I want to go. Verse 24. It says, and they came to him, and they woke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose, and he rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where's your faith? What does he mean? Why didn't you do this? You're the church. And they being afraid, wondered, saying unto another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Well, here's the good news. He's the head, we're the body. Hallelujah. If things obey the head, they will obey the body. I give it to you, the head is more skilled at this than we are. But just stay with it. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Pastor, I wish everything I spoke to at one time and it was all gone. Don't you wish that? I'm not saying that's not possible. I'm not saying. I'm just saying I ain't there. Don't mean I can't be there. Pardon my English, but I hope you got that. See, what I'm saying to you is the head's the example, isn't he? Remember when the devil came against him, what did he do? Now, devil, you leave me alone. I'm the son of the living God. Now, you don't bother me. Get out of here. He said, it is what? Written. It is written. What if we answered everything with it is written? What if every problem that came in our life, we found out what was written and answered it that way? Right. What happened when Jesus said it's written? It said the devil left him. Right. And angels came and ministered to him. I'll take some of that. Devil, leave me and angels come. Hallelujah. Amen. See, Jesus, when you follow his ministry, he marveled two times in his ministry. He was marveled by people. One, at his own hometown because of their unbelief. One, a centurion, a Roman, not even in covenant with God, marveled him with his faith. Y'all remember that story, right? You know, the centurion saw Jesus. He said, my servant's at the point of death, you know, wanting Jesus to come and heal him. And Jesus said, I'll come to your house and heal him. And he said, oh, don't bother. He said, just speak the word. Right. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. And the Bible said, Jesus marveled. He said, I've not seen such great faith in Israel. The covenant people that know the word are supposed to know the word. Isn't that something? That's bad when a sinner on the street shows up the church with faith. Amen. But here's what this man knew. See, this man said, he explained himself. He said, for he was a centurion, I'm a soldier. I have soldiers under me. I say to this one, go, he goes. To that one, come, and he comes. To my servant, do this, and he does it. He said, I don't have to go out and physically do anything. I just speak, and they obey. They do it. You understand? See, if you have authority, and you know you have authority, you don't have to physically do anything but speak. Is that not right? See, didn't we have a wonderful time in praise and worship Sunday morning? That's about all we did, all service long. I tell you, I just really got refreshed. But you know, I could have come in here tonight and said, I don't want that. I'm just going to preach the whole time. I don't have to sabotage their gear. I don't have to break the drumsticks, you know, hide the microphones, cut the cords in half. I don't have to do that. Why? Because I have authority. All I got to do is say. See, some of you are doubting right now, but I still think I have authority. I'm just speculating. I know. Maybe I'm presumptuous here, but anyway. You know, I just think as a pastor, if I said, look, guys, I don't want praise and worship tonight. I'm just going to preach. I mean, I know you guys would float upside down for half an hour until you figured out that it's okay. But anyway, you know, my point is this man was just telling Jesus, I understand how authority works. I have authority. I'm under authority. That's why I got authority. If I get out from underneath authority, I lose my authority. Because I'm under authority, I have authority, and I just say. He recognized Jesus was a man of authority, but he realized, Jesus, you're under somebody's authority. He may not have known who it was, but then again, maybe he did. But he realized, Jesus, you're under authority, you got authority, you don't even have to come to my house, just speak the word, because you have authority, and that sickness, that devil, those demons will have to leave. Because you have authority. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, he's the head. We're the body. Right. If the head's got authority, how many know the body's got authority? Right. See, I don't have time to teach on authority, but if you just got to read Ephesians, it tells us that we're seated in heavenly places with him. We have authority. Hallelujah. Amen. But he's not going to exercise authority on our behalf. We got to exercise authority. He gave it to us. I just recently gave Pastor Jerry a mower. You know, I found out that Dustin, his own son, was letting his dad mow the yard without a self-propelled mower. I'm telling you, a son that causes shame. Isn't that what Proverbs says? And so I gave him a self-propelled mower. How many know I gave him that mower? He doesn't have to call me and ask me every time he goes to mow, can I use that mower? Right? And he better not call me and say, you come and use the mower. It's your mower. No, I gave the mower to you. You use it from now on. Are you following? See, that's the way it is with authority. Jesus gave us authority. And now he said, you go do something with it. Don't ask me to do it, you do it. So a lot of times we're begging, God, please help me, God, please. But you know, that really doesn't go very far once you get a little older. As a baby, he probably will answer that and deal with that because you don't know any better. You know what I'm saying? You do a lot of things for a baby that you're not going to do for a grown-up kid. Isn't that right? You know, when they're young, you know, I remember when the grandkids were young. I avoided it at all costs. Matter of fact, I think the whole time with all of them, I only changed one diaper. That's one. But I did do paperwork a few times. You understand? How many know what paperwork is? Okay. You know that? That's two words you hate to hear. I'm done. You hate to hear that. I'm done. And so, but you realize it's not really finished yet. There's got to be some paperwork. You got to fill out the paperwork. And so, you know. But help me understand that once they get a little bit older, no. You do your own paperwork. See, We have to understand that God, as we're babes, there's a lot of things that He'll put up with. He'll overlook because we're babes. You know, there's just things that we do. You know, you give a one-year-old a crayon and a color on the wall, that's your fault, right? You gave them a loaded gun and they used it, all right? That's just the way it is. And so, you know, your 17-year-old, you expect more out of them, right? They color on the wall and they are in trouble. They're painting the wall, right? Yeah, now, so the same thing's true with our authority. God gave it to us. Now, as we get older, He expects us to use it. Romans said that we're to reign in life. We're to reign in life. Now, the Amplified Bible says it this way, and this is correct. It says we're to reign in life as kings, because that word reign means reign king. It means reign as a king. That's what it means. And so we're to reign as kings. Well, how does a king reign? He just speaks. He just decrees. When's the last time you've seen President Trump mowing the White House lawn? I never have. Here's the thing. What if it needs mowed? Do you think he's going to go mow it? Now, if it was Dr. Barclay and he was president, he probably would. He loves power tools. I don't know what's with him. But the first thing he did when he got here, when he landed, his plane gets on the ground, the first thing he wants to do is go to a lawnmower shop. He loves to use a snowblower in Michigan, so he gets practice, you know. You know, one time he was out there all bundled up, you know, throwing snow at church, you know, and somebody drove by to say something to him, pulled down a mask, and I go, "Oh my gosh, it's Pastor. What are you doing out here?" Hey, he tells these guys, don't you dare come take this away from me. I'll hurt you. So that's his deal. But how many know, he doesn't have to do that, right? I mean, he's just like, "Hey, guys, get the snow out, and it'll be done." See, when you have authority, all you got to do is speak. Isn't that right? Amen. Now, so kings reign, and did you know we're kings? That's what the Bible says, Revelation, we're kings and priests. Hallelujah. So people just don't seem, you know, a lot of people don't get this kind of teaching, this kind of meeting. When they hear it, they think, "Well, I never heard anything like that in my life." Where did you get that from? B-I-B-L-E. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Go there. We're winding down here. But see, it's all in the Word of God. It's all in the Bible. It's right there in your Bible. You know, you just got to read it. Amen? Right. Amen. Yeah. It's amazing now. You know, Andrew Womack said this, and I like this. He said, "It's amazing how many Christians do not let the Bible get in the way of what they believe." That's profound. Shall I say it again? It's amazing how many Christians don't let the Bible get in the way of what they believe. I want the Bible to get in my way. How about you? I want to get in my way. If I'm not thinking right, I want the Bible to tell me. Even if it makes me mad, I'll get over it. Right? Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. The Bible says, we, that's us, the church. Everybody say the church. Well, that was weak. Say the church. Having the same spirit of faith. See, the church is to have a spirit of faith about it. See, the world operates by the spirit of fear, but the church by the spirit of faith, or we're supposed to. The world's all afraid of all kinds of things. I don't know whether you've noticed or not, but if we get over one thing, then we got another thing to be afraid of, right? I mean, you know, for months it's been the virus. And the virus is real. You know, we're not saying it's not real. But the church is to operate by the spirit of faith. Amen. I have more faith in God's Word than I do that virus. Amen. Now, you can live it, approach it. I tell people, just do whatever gives you peace, you know, whatever gives you peace. But I got plenty of peace. I don't go around, you know, concerned, you know, and all that, you know. I'm just not that way. Why? I don't have the virus, and I'm not getting the virus. I don't want the virus. How can you say that? Same way I said I wasn't going to get the bird flu. I'm not taking the flu off a bird. I remember the swine flu. See, this isn't the first, thing we've had in our country. And it's not the first thing. You know, when we had the Hong Kong flu, the swine flu, the bird flu, the Asian flu, and all that, you know. Amen. And so I decided, you know, I don't want any of that. I don't even want the flu, regular flu. B strain, A strain, C strain, D strain, G strain. I don't want any of it. I don't want any strain of it. A, B, C, or D, G, E, F, G. I don't want any kind of flu. None of it, right? Well, that's pretty arrogant. No, that's not arrogant. It would be arrogant if I said I had power over it. I don't have power over it. But God's word has power over it. And I have power over it in the sense that, let me rephrase that. When I say I don't have power over it, I don't have power over it as a human being. I have power over it as a born again, spirit filled, hallelujah, righteousness of God, all his benefits, believer. Hallelujah. So it isn't a matter that I have anything special. It's everybody's born again has it. They don't know it, but they have it. Come on. When you get born again, how many know you're the righteousness of God? You know, sometimes the church, you know, the Catholic Church will do this. I'm not knocking them, but they do it. I'm just saying because they do it. You know, sometimes they'll make somebody a saint. You know, like Mother Teresa is a saint. Well, Mother Teresa did a lot of good things, okay? I mean, she did things a lot of people wouldn't do, okay? So, Mother Teresa, I ain't problem with Mother Teresa being a saint. But here's the truth. Every born-again believer is already a saint. Paul said to the saints at Rome. You know, he wouldn't just... See, Greg's getting mad at me because I'm getting on his... No, I'm teasing. Greg's now, I ain't that sanctified yet, Pastor. Don't you go that far with this teaching. I'm having fun for those of you watching. Greg's a redeemed, delivered person that's born again. But you know what I'm saying. See, and I'm not knocking the Catholic Church. So let me say, this isn't a slap against the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church has a lot more going for it than a lot of denominations, flat out. Anyway, but my point is, you know, sometimes we can think that person is so holy, so righteous, they're such on a pedestal that they're a saint. But the truth is, the moment you got born again, according to the Bible, you became a saint, which means a sanctified one, set apart for the use of God. All right, so you're a saint, you know, and you're just as much a saint or just as righteous the day you get born again as somebody that's been walking with God for 35 years, see. See, so all the benefits that I'm talking about, all the benefits are ours. They're every person that's born again. They may not know about it. They may not be appropriate. They may not be having the benefit of it. But I'm going to tell you what, it's theirs. See, there's a lot of things like in computer stuff and stuff like, you know, there's a lot of things that, you know, I could do on my tech stuff that I have that I don't do. Because I haven't found any need to find out about it. All right. So, but yet, if you get somebody that really knows what the thing can do, they can show you all kinds of things. We had a guy in here years ago, you know, working on. It was when computers had DOS, you know, ran by DOS. I don't know. Maybe they still. I don't know. I'm getting in over my head talking about things I don't know anything about right now. But anyway, you know, how many remember DOS? You know, it was something else in the computer. I don't understand it, but it was back in there. And we had a guy in here one night, and he was working on our computers, you know. And so he was a real tech head, and he says, I want to show you something. He said, you know, you got stuff in here you don't know about. And so he takes me in there, and he gets back in there, and he types in some stuff, you know, some information, you know. It's not on the screen. You can't click on an icon or whatever they call it, and open it up. You have to type in and get in there behind the scenes. And behind the scenes, there's all kinds of stuff in there that you didn't know was in there. I mean, there was games and things like that. I didn't know they were there. I didn't know. Dustin, I mean, as smart as I am, I didn't know. If I didn't know, there's no help for you. So, you know, I didn't know. But he showed me like a gorilla toss game where there's a gorilla throwing a boomerang and you try to get it over the skyscrapers. He's in a metropolitan area. And he's trying. I didn't know that was in there. It was a cool game. After he left, I never found it again. But anyway, I've never found it. I don't know that, you know, I don't know how he found it, but he knew how to do it. See, what I'm saying to you, there's all kinds of benefits in this covenant that people don't know about. Come on, help me, somebody. And if they just dig in here every day, they begin to find out some stuff. Well, I'm just waiting for Pastor to tell me. Well, I wouldn't do that. I think I'd dig it out myself. Because it depends on what church you go to. You may have a pastor that doesn't know anything about it either. There's all kinds of pastors in our city that doesn't know that it's the will of God for you to be healed. But it's in the Word. So you can't go by experience. You got to go by the Word. So the Spirit of faith. The church operates by the Spirit of faith. What does the Spirit of faith do? Well, the Bible says, we believe, therefore have we spoken. Amen? We got to speak. Now, jump down, verse 17. Paul said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen. Now, notice this. This is different. While we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So you and I are supposed to be looking at things that are not seen. Well, how do you see things not seen? That's a good question, right? How many know Bob says, tells us, right? Faith is the evidence of things not seen. So what's he talking about? Well, he's basically talking about the spirit of faith. See, if you went down to chapter 5, verse 7, he said, we walk by faith, not by sight. So what is the man talking about? Well, he's talking about this. We need to walk, looking at things not seen is walking by faith. See? In other words, faith, you have to believe that there's forces working on, if you're walking by faith, you have to believe there's forces working on your behalf that you cannot see. There's things going on you can't see. You have to do that. If you don't learn to do that, then you can't activate the realm of the Spirit like you need to. Amen. Remember, there's an Old Testament story. Elisha the prophet in Israel was telling the king of Israel, the king of Israel and the king of, I believe it was Syria, were at war with one another. And Elisha the prophet would tell the king of Israel what the king of Syria's next move was going to be. He'd get it from God and go tell the king. And so finally, the king of Syria had enough of it, and he thought he had a spy. And so he calls his guys together, and he said, okay, now I want you to tell me which one of you guys is for the king of Israel, like they're going to raise their hand and say, it's me. And one of them speaks up, and he says, none of us, king, it's not us. There's a prophet in Israel named Elisha. He's telling what you speak in your bedroom. He's telling the king of Israel what you speak in your bedroom. So he told his army, he said, go get him. And so they found him in a city called Dothan. And he's there with his servant, Elisha is. And one morning the servant goes out, you know, to get some coffee. And he goes out early morning and he looks and he sees the whole city is surrounded by the army of Syria. They've sent the whole army to get this one prophet. And so he comes back in and he says to Elisha, he said, what are we going to do? And Elisha said, there's more with us than there are with them. And he said, Lord, open his eyes. And the Lord opened his eyes, and he saw the mountain full of chariots of horses and fire. They were like angels, you know. He saw the whole mountain. See, I'm convinced in my spirit that Elisha didn't see that. He just believed it. He knew it by faith. But he prayed, show this servant what's really going on. See, if we're going to have success, we got to be able to relate to the invisible and the spiritual. If we can't do that as a church, if all we can relate to is what we see, feel, taste, touch, and hear, then we're not going to be much of a church. We have to learn to relate to that which is unseen, because that's what made the seen realm. Amen. See, the Bible tells us that through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things were seen were made of things which are not seen. Didn't say they weren't real, it said they weren't seen. Amen. Now, so let's close out. All right, we're in 2 Corinthians 4. Just back up to verse 3. I want to read this and we'll close right here. Did you get something out of this tonight? All right, this is it. He says, but if our gospel be hid, or some translations say veiled, which is really the right word, if our gospel be veiled, it's because he just talked about Moses having the veil over his face. See, if our gospel be hid or veiled, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world. So there's a God of this world, right? This age. It's Satan, right? Hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. All right? They believe not. All right? He blinds the minds of those that don't walk by faith. See, believe not. Or don't walk by faith, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. What is this saying to us? Well, in relation to what we're talking about, it's simply saying this. There is this natural world, this natural realm, where Satan is still God of. That's what the Bible said, right? He's God of this world, little g. God of this age. That's not going to last much longer. but he is right now. So here's the thing. If we try to operate in his realm, in the natural realm, which most of the church tries, he's God there. He will beat you. But if you get into the unseen realm, the realm of the Spirit, you beat him every time. See, that's why my friend, Pastor Earl Carter, I like to call him Bishop P.E. Carter. I'm not going to tell you what P stands for because he wouldn't want me to tell you. I know, but I'm not at liberty to say it right now. He's made that plain, okay? So, but I can use his initials, Bishop P.E. Carter. I love what his church is called, the Arena of Faith. Think about that. Think about the name of the church. What does that mean? You fight the devil in the arena of faith. If you try to discern the will of God from the natural, he's going to beat you. But if you grab a hold of that by faith, what are we trying to grab a hold of? What are we trying to say? We're grabbing a hold of the promises of God. What the Bible promises us, right? See, if you do that, he can't win in that realm. Hallelujah. If you walk by faith, not by sight, and you say, I'm healed when you don't feel healed, he can't beat you there. But if you go by how you feel, what you see, he's God there. He'll beat you. You're on his turf. Did you know, this is not a criticism, this is an observation, okay? I don't take it as a criticism, but this is an observation. Most of the church lives on his turf. Most of the church lives by what they can see, feel, hear, see, taste, and so forth. Matter of fact, they will take opinions, the opinion of the day. A lot of churches are run by what people like, right? What's popular in culture today? What's unpopular? What shouldn't I say? What will offend people? Well, the truth. That'll offend you. Jesus ran the whole crew off one day. All but 12. And they must have been thinking about it because Jesus said, you want to leave too? Peter said, where will we go? Got any suggestions? No, you got the words of eternal life. We'll stay right here. See, what I'm showing you is this. See, that's all natural realm stuff. And if you operate your church that way, you're going to be defeated. You're going to be defeated. You'll get the same harvest that the world gets. Amen. Hallelujah. But if you stand with God's word, you stand with truth, God's able to defend you. I mean, he's able to protect you and defend you and keep you. There's a lot of preachers that won't talk about certain things, certain hot buttons in, you know, society today because, you know, it offends people and, you know, I'm saying, you know, we just love everybody. Well, we do love everybody, but you know what love does? Love gives you what's good for you, not what you want. That's true love. I mean, any parent ought to know that. You don't give kids what they want. You give them what's good for them. Oh, occasionally you give them what they want, but if you give them what they want all the time, they won't have any teeth or brains. You know, someone said, you know what the fastest land mammal is on earth? The fastest land mammal on earth is a kid that puts something in its mouth and you're saying, what you got in your mouth? I mean, how do you understand? It doesn't take long to realize when a child's born, they're sweet, they're cute, all that, but it's not. It doesn't take long to realize that there's something in them that needs molded, doesn't it? And if you don't do that, you got trouble, right? You learn that. See. There's just something there. But God's given us the tools. Amen. Amen. So we have to understand, look, we don't judge things by the natural. We don't judge things by how they look. If we do that, we're on the devil's turf. We judge things by what God said. We don't look at things seen because they're just temporary. We look at things not seen. They're eternal. One man said this. This is probably a great way to say this. He said the eternal things change temporary things. Hallelujah. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.